1 Kings chapter 21, if you're physically able this morning, I'll ask you to stand as we read three pieces of Scripture this morning and try to preach you what God's laid on our heart. 1 Kings chapter 21, the Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, and I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said unto Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time to be in your house. And God, I thank you, Father, for each one that's gathered here. And realize that, Lord, today that we've came and break thy holy word. And Lord, we've broke the bread of life this morning. And God, we've just given a portion of it to your children. And Lord, I need your help this morning. I can't do this without you. And Lord, you know I'm nervous. And God, you know I need your touch this morning more than I ever have. And Lord, I pray that for just a little while you'd hide us behind the old cross. Lord, that you just preach us like you've never preached us before. And God, I pray for one of your dear children sitting here under the sound of my voice. God, that we'd encourage them to go a step further. And Lord, if there's one lost sitting here this morning, that conviction would fall upon that heart. And God, they'd find themselves in an old-fashioned altar calling out for repentance this morning. Lord, I love you. And God, I know I failed you in many ways and many things. And Lord, I pray that you cleanse my heart this morning, that you cleanse my mind. And Lord, that you give me clarity of voice and clarity of thought this morning for just a few minutes. And Lord, I praise you, God, because you're worthy. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all of God's children say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. 1 Kings chapter 21. Let me give you just a little brief history this morning. Ahab is a wicked man. He is married to a lady named Jezebel. And you'll find out through Scripture that Jezebel was a wicked, wicked woman. And let me say this to you this morning. We're living in a day and age where majority of men are wicked. But what breaks my heart is to see wicked women in the generation we live in this day and age. And I'm going to say this, Ahab was a wicked king, and he was a wicked man in a wicked country, and he was a wicked, wicked king during this day and age. And I'm just going to say this morning, and upset you if you'd like, and you can look at it, you can let it go however you want to. We're living in wicked days, and I'm going to be honest with you this morning, whoever in the world becomes president in the United States is a wicked person. You say, preacher, we've got the election around the corner, and there's about four candidates that's leading the pack, and who am I going to vote for? Well, I'm going to say this morning. You pray and ask God who to direct you to and who to guide you to, because I'm going to be honest with you. Every one of them is wicked today. And Ahab was a wicked king, and he had a wicked wife. And in this piece of Scripture, in 1 Kings chapter 21, he comes across a man named Naboth. And Naboth had a vineyard right there next to the palace of King Ahab, and had nothing more than King Ahab to desire was to have that vineyard. And you'll see that Naboth refused to give it to him. And if you read on down throughout chapter 21, you'll see that Ahab went home and he couldn't eat because he was displeased because he did not receive the vineyard from Naboth. He told Jezebel about what Naboth had said, and he was down and out throwing his pity party, and he wouldn't eat, and he had curled up in the bed. And she sent out a proclamation using his signature that Naboth would be stoned to death. And you'll see that when Naboth is stoned to death under the hand of Jezebel, that Ahab was happy because he got the vineyard. I want to preach to you for just a little thought this morning. What are you going to do with what you've been given? What are you going to do with what you've been given? Let me help you this morning realize something. Naboth didn't buy the land he had. Naboth did not purchase the land that he was on. And Naboth did not own that, but yet it was a family heirloom that was passed down through a generation. And many of you know that when a mother or father passes on that the land and the house or the condiments of that place or the ownings of that place is passed down to the next generation or the next of kin. And this land had been passed down to Naboth. I find it nice admire Naboth for simply looking at Ahab and saying, no, I will not sell. No, I will not give it to you. And no, I refuse to let the king have it. This is my land. And this is what I've been given. And this is what God has ordained for my birthright. And this is where I'll stay. Can I help you this morning to understand that we're living in a generation where Christians are selling out for anything, anyhow, any way that seems to be good in their eyes? There's not a doubt in my mind, King Ahab, I would have given Naboth a better vineyard. There's not a doubt in my mind that Ahab would probably have went above and beyond the asking price. It's not a doubt in my mind that Naboth probably could have got something much better. And can I tell you real quickly this morning, there's not a doubt in my mind, had he made that trade, he'd still been alive. But Naboth refused. You said, well, preacher, if somebody come to me, let me just say this. I like the old saying that everything has a price. I'm going to be honest with you. I like my truck, but somebody come by and offer me the right amount of money, I'd send them down the road with it. You say, preacher, you're crazy. I guarantee you, Robert, if somebody come up and said they'd give you $8,000 for that Ranger, Robert would yank them arms off and he'd say, sold, sold, sold. And can I tell you this morning, they some Christians put a price on their soul. They are some folks that are in the house of God, that are across this nation, have sold out for something else. You don't believe it this morning? That's why we're having all this modern movement to get away from preaching such as this, to get away from singing such as this, because they don't want their inheritance. You know what breaks my heart is to see a family that can't get along. When mom and dad passes away, they bicker and they argue and they gripe amongst one another and they sell off what mom and daddy worked their life for. Can I tell you, that bothers me on the inside this morning. Hey, let me say this to you. Everything that my parents have given to me has been a gift. And I want to share this with you. Naboth, the land that he was on, was his father's. And let me say this. I have found out across this country that most people that are Baptist because they were born Baptist. Most are Catholic because they was born Catholic. Most are Methodist because they was born Methodist. And most are Presbyterian because they've been born Presbyterian. Most are Southern Baptist because they was raised in a Southern Baptist church. And most are independent because they've been raised in an independent church. And let me help you real quickly right here. That inheritance is good. That teaching is good. But more than that, I got born into the family of God. And being born into the family of God, I inherited a land far beyond the stars that I cannot see. Ear hath not heard, and it's not entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. Aren't you glad to know this morning that God in John chapter number 14 said, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And let me help you real quickly right here in verse 7. Somebody said, preacher, I've got a mansion over the hilltop. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care if I got a cardboard box. It'll be finer than anything I've ever lived in here. And I won't need to go to a place and rest or a place to take a relax, because I'll be in the presence of the Almighty. And I find it amazing this morning we can preach Revelation chapter 21 till we're blue in the face and tell the folks about heaven. And it really don't mean a whole lot anymore. But I want to ask you this morning, what's yours worth? What is yours worth? You say, preacher, there ain't no way in the world I'd sell out my inheritance with God. Preacher, there ain't no way in the world I turn loose of what God's given me. Can I tell you, it don't take much for you to turn her loose. We read in the book of Genesis. You can go with me real quickly right there just for just a minute this morning. We're going to jump around in a few places. In the book of Genesis this morning in chapter 25, you'll read of a man named Isaac. And Isaac and Rebekah had a child, and they had sons, and we know that Rebekah loved Jacob. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 28. Esau was the firstborn, and Esau was a cunning hunter. And Isaac loved the venison. That was who he told Esau to go out into the field and take me some venison. And we see here in Genesis chapter number 25, this man named Esau coming in. He's hungry and he's desiring something to eat. And Jacob was just a common man. He was in and out of the tents. He didn't really have any special abilities. He didn't have anything great. But Esau came in and he was dying to eat that day. And he sits down at the table, and Jacob had been making a red pottage, and Esau says, "Give me that to eat." Notice with me in verse number 30. The Bible says, "And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom." What happened right here was Esau came into the house, and there's not a doubt in my mind he had been out in the field, and he had been out hunting and trapping, and he had been out walking and out laboring to do what he was doing, and he came in and he was hungry. I don't know about you, but I get hungry every now and then. I get hungry. I'm kind of getting there right now. Some of you worrying about what you're going to eat, and I can read your thoughts, and some of you thinking fried chicken, and I want to go with you. Amen. Some of you are worried about where you're going to be at. I'm going to be honest with you. I like to eat. And there's nothing better than being at work all day, coming home, and smelling something cooking in the house. You say, "Preacher, you ain't starving. You ain't either. Look on the same weight and scales. I guarantee you, you weigh too much too." Amen. Johnny's with me. But he came in, he was hungry. And he smelt that food of cooking, and then, a doubt in my mind, he began salivating. Boy, that probably tastes pretty good. Boy, you smell the spices in it and the seasoning, and there ain't no doubt in my mind his belly was a growling like it was about to eat his backbone. And he thought, "Man, if I could just get some of that." Jacob looked at Esau. Notice with me in verse 31. The Bible said, "And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.'" Now, I don't know about you, but in my mind, if I was hungry and I said, "I want something to eat," and the man said, "Well, give me a birthright." Well, there ain't no contract there. There ain't no paper there. Majority of people say, "Yeah, sure, I'll give you my birthright, just give me something to eat." You know what? He sold his inheritance for a bowl of pottage. He sold his double portion for a bowl of pottage. You say, "Preacher, that is absolutely absurd and not meaning anything we should go to." When I look at Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 21 and I look at Naboth there, it is much just like in John chapter number 4 or Matthew chapter number 4 when the devil came to Jesus and he had been in the wilderness for 40 days and been fasting and been tempted, and he came out of the wilderness and the devil took him up to a high place and said, "Cast thyself down." For the Bible said in the book of Psalms that the angels was in charge of thee, lest thou dash thy foot. He had tempted him. And then he told Jesus, he said, "Look around at what I've got to offer. Look around at what I can give you. Look at that city as far as you can see. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll make you in charge of all this." You know what's happening in our churches today? The devil ain't having to show all that to win our people. Y'all all right this morning? He's not having to show these young people that they're going to be powerful or successful or anything else. He just shows them a commercial on TV that looks like it'll be fun. He doesn't show you the homes that are damaged through it. He doesn't show you the mamas that get beat and the daddies that are out on the street and being bums and hooked on drugs and alcohol and all the other things. He doesn't show you all the issues that come along with that. They once sung in a choir. Now you can't get them out of the bed on Sunday morning. They once came to church faithful. Now you can't get them come three times a year. Say, preacher, what days are those? That's Easter, Mother's Day, and Christmas. Y'all all right? You say, preacher, we just come out of a good jubilee. Preacher, we just came out feeling good, and it seems like you done drug out the baseball bat and Brother Mark Hall's back and beating every one of us. No. But I'm going to tell you, we got to protect what's ours. And I'm going to help you real quickly this morning. He paints you a picture of feeling good and no worries and no problems and no heartaches. But I'm going to tell you this. You can drink your pain away, but when you wake up, it's still there. You can drink your heartaches away. When you wake up, they're still there. You can drink your disappointments away, but when you wake up and you're sober, they're still there. And I'm going to say this, there's been a lot of good men and women that used to go to church that the devil painted a good picture for them. And what they've done, they've lost everything. Everything. You see, this morning as Naboth was there and Ahab came in, there's not a doubt in my mind that vineyard looked really nice. I believe he tended to it. I believe he was probably like Brother Johnny and Miss Lily. They put a 9-foot fence around that thing to keep the deer out. And every time they got a chance, they was out there pulling weeds. They was keeping the rows tilled right. They was keeping the dirt pulled up around the plants. They was keeping water put on it. They wanted it to look good. That was their vineyard. That was where they worked at. That was their land that they had. And there's not a doubt in my mind, Ahab stepped in there and he looked at Naboth's vineyard. And no doubt Naboth had took pride in his vineyard. He had worked hard in there. He had had a lot of sweat on his brow. And he had been working for that vineyard. And Ahab steps in and says, give it to me. He said, I'll give you one bigger. I'm going to be honest with you right now. Every one of us have got our own individual vineyards. Every one of us have got our own individual farms, you might say. I can't go over to Brother Ryan Hall's house and getting his vineyard and work. That's his wife and his children. Brother Ryan can't come to my house and get on my wife and my daughter and get in my vineyard to work. That's my vineyard. I can't go to Brother Chuck's house and work his vineyard. I can't go to Troy to when you get married and you have a home. I can't go work in your vineyard. And I can't go and work it over everybody's vineyard because we each have our own. But you know what? When we get here to Ronda Baptist Tabernacle, we got one great big old farm. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. If I had had all the ones that came in here that went back out and not come back, Lord help this place be running over with people this morning. I mean, it looks good being pretty full, but if I had all the ones that's been here in the past 7 years of ministry that has came in and brought their vineyard and was wanting to work their vineyard and was wanting to help in their vineyard and was getting excited about having a vineyard, if I had all the ones that's walked through these doors, you wouldn't have a place to sit this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe it bothers God when He sees farms start separating. There's been some, there's some preachers I could call the names right now that have walked out and left their vineyard. You say, preacher, wait a minute. They walked out and left their wife and their children to let somebody else raise them because they had a lust in their heart to go after another woman. Y'all know anybody like that? You ever heard any tales like that? Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of women that have left their vineyard because of a lust in their heart. You say, preacher, now, are you going to preach against divorce and all that? No, I'm not. But I'm just telling you right now, there's been a lot of folks that should still be together, but they got their eyes off of Calvary and went away. There's been some people that, I no doubt this morning, you probably could think over your head. I've heard at one time how Ronda Tabernacle was flourishing. I've heard at one time how Ronda Tabernacle was growing. I heard at one time how they'd outgrew the building over there, and they built this one. But let me ask you something. How many of them people are still alive, but they don't come here no more? They pulled their vineyard out. They've seen something. There's been some preachers that left churches early because they got painted a pretty vineyard at another avenue. I know of some that they left their church. They was running about 30 people, and this church promised 80 and promised this and promised that. So they packed up their bags, not being led of God, but they went to a place of greener pastures. And guess what? They ain't in the ministry at all now. You say, preacher, this ain't making no sense. Notice what happens in 1 Kings this morning. Ahab spake in verse number 2. He says, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard. Can I help you real quickly this morning? Let me say this. There is nothing better than where God has placed you to work. Did y'all get a hold of that? There is nothing better than when God, where God has placed you to work. I want to help you real quickly right here. My daughter's going to grow up. I know that's happening. She's growing up every day. And one day she's going to be about 8 or 9 years old. And there's no doubt in my mind she's going to want to do something. She's probably going to want to go to a church here or want to go to a church there. Daddy, why don't we go here? But let me say this. As long as God tells me to be at Rhonda Tabernacle, my child ain't going to direct me where do I go to church at. Amen. Parents, you are still the parents. Mom and Dad, you are still Mom and Dad. And it is not your children's place to determine where you go to church at. And let me help you. Now when she gets of age and she meets a nice young man about 30 years old when she's 31, they can go wherever they want to go. But as long as she's going to live under my roof, and her mom and I are going to feed her, she's going to know that when Daddy says we're going here, we're going here. There's no argument. There's no debate about it. I know of a gentleman right now. He was growing in the Lord. His son wanted to go to a church where it was more exciting, where there was more kids. Boy, he was doing good. But now he ain't walking close to God as he once was. Get in a Bible-believing, fundamental church. Let me say this. This is our vineyard. When we all come together, we have a large farm. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I don't see you and your farm show up, I get worried about you. I know people get sick. I understand. I know kids get sick. I understand that. And you know what? I have a child who gets sick. I'm going to be honest with you. I get headaches and backaches and bug aches and belly aches and toe aches and elbow aches and all these aches to go along. And guess what? My wife gets them too. Boy, I'm feeling like preaching right about right here. I get all those things too. I get bugs. But if my wife is sick, I'm not going to let her contain whether I go to church or not. Boy, it grew up right there. My wife gets sick, it don't determine whether I go to church or not. You say, well, preacher, we're a family and I want to help take care of her. Bless God, she got two hands. She can hold her own Kleenexes. You know what? My little daughter going to get old enough, Brother Troy, that if you blow your nose, I'm going to backhand you. That I know I'm going to have to take this and I'm going to have to go, blow! Don't you do it. And I'm going to have to clean it. But she... You're how old? 20. Do I need to do that for you? Because your hands do that for you? All right. So at the age of 20, we learn how to blow our own nose and hold our own Kleenexes, right? My wife can hold her own. I know she ain't going to want to come over after I've done my neti pot and hold the nose and hold the toilet paper and look at me and say, blow your nose, honey, because I know what's getting ready to come out and she don't want it nowhere near her. We got vineyards to work. Don't let what God's blessed you with keep you from working your vineyard. God has blessed me with a wife. And let me say this, God has blessed me with a child. I love that little girl. Why in the world would I let what God's given me hinder my relationship with Him? Why in the world would I let my wife, whom God gave her to me, let her hinder my relationship in serving God? Why would I let myself, God really give her a good one, get in the way of her serving God? You see, this one, God give us a vineyard. And when your vineyard ain't here, the farm ain't complete. And you know what? I encourage you to stay in your vineyard. Stay with what God's give you to work with. You say, preacher, I'm not seeing a whole lot going on in my vineyard. I'm not seeing anything start sprouting up. Hey, I promise you something. If you'll go to Luke and John, he'll say the fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few. Can I tell you something? Rhonda is white for harvest. There's people all over this hillside over here, Brother Chuck, saying, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. You know what? There's an outfit down here at the end of the road saying, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. There's going to be a crew down here at the cafe that, I need Jesus. There's an outfit that you work with that are walking around and they're saying, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. You say, preacher, I ain't heard nobody ever say that. Look at the life they're living. Look at the sin that they're in. And look at the mire they're in. They've got the inheritance of the prince and the power of the hour. And they're living the best they can in the sin and filth of this world. And they don't realize there's an inheritance through a Father and through a Son and through a Holy Ghost of a place called heaven. Amen. And they're screaming, I need Jesus. You know what? This morning some of you are sitting here looking at me like I'm half crazy. Some of you are screaming, I need Jesus this morning. Let me help you real quickly. You can't never get enough of Him, Brother Tommy. Amen. Brother Dean, you can't never get enough of Him. You say, well, preacher, my cup's about full, well, praise God, let Him go ahead and overflow down in the saucer. Some of you this morning, you're debating on where you need to be, what's important in your life, whether you should do this, whether you should do that. Let me say this, stay in your vineyard. You say, preacher, we're going somewhere. I want you to notice what happens to Naboth. Ahab goes home, verses 4 and 5. 6, 7, and 8, he lays down in his bed, Brother Joe, and he's having a big old pity party. It's kind of like this. I'll use this for example. He don't mind. I seen Robert Friday night at Pizza Hut. Had his sidekick with him. That's Tommy Toe. I call him your sidekick. Is that all right? Amen. They're father and son, but they, like me and Daddy, they get along good. Had Thomas with him. First thing Thomas said, he'd found a motorcycle and he was wanting to sell his for Christmas. That he got for Christmas to buy the motorcycle. I looked at Thomas, I said, don't ever sell what Santa Claus or whoever give you for Christmas. You know why? Because that's a gift. It's just like what Jesus done at Calvary. It's a gift. The devil's going to paint you up something bigger, prettier, and better looking, but you just stay with what you got at Calvary. You just stay with what He shed there on that hillside. You just stay with that. You say, well, preacher, I need this and I need that. I need this in my life and I need to get fed and I get this and I need this. Let me say this to you. He's got everything you need. You just need more Jesus. Amen. Don't need nothing else. If we could ever get a hold of, He can satisfy our deepest desires, our deepest thoughts. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. You can ask my wife. I was pretty torqued up by the time I got to church. You ever get torqued up on your way to church? It seemed like I got behind every grandma on State Road. Let me say this. We're trying to get ready for church and man, it's a mad dash there around the house trying to throw stuff in a diaper bag, throw the young in it. Yet we don't throw her. We set her in the car. But throw her in the car seat. Get down the steps, get here, look right, make sure we're ironed up right, make sure we... You know what? Sometimes I don't even get the same breeches that go with the same suit. You have one that looks like a pattern, you look down and you got a different pattern going on your breeches. And you're thinking, Lord help, hope nobody notices that. And I was in the kitchen, was boiling water, trying to dump it in the Tommy Tippy thing so she could help warm up the milk when she got here to church. And we're in the kitchen, and we bump elbows, and boiling water splashed all over the side of my face. She said, "Preacher, what happened, boy? I got hot." Not only did I get physically hot, I had it on my arm, and it was, man, you can't do nothing with it. You just got to let it burn and be done with it. Wipe it off, you're going to rub it in. We get down in the truck, and she said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Let me throw boiling water on your face and see how you feel." End of conversation. End of conversation. She said, "Get to church." You say, "What do you got to do?" "I got to forget about the boiling water on the side of the face. I got to forget about making my wife mad on the way to church." And end of conversation. Thank the Lord, the youngin' went to sleep. We get to church. You know what you got to do? You got to remember, you're working in a vineyard. There's plants that are blooming that's ready to be harvested. There's fruit on trees that needs to be collected. And we got to get to work. You got to lay your problems down on the outside. And realize when you come in here, there's a God in heaven on here. You say, "Preacher, what'd you do?" "I got to work it on the soundboard. That camera back there has drove me crazy. Wanting to give these ladies and these youngins a live feed in the nursery so if they have to go in there and use that area, that they can sit there and they can see exactly what's going on, hear the preacher preaching, hear the choir singing, hear the piano playing. They know exactly what's going on. Bought a camera, hooked up everything. Can't get nothing right. Been battling that for 4 weeks. I can bring my old camera in here, hook it up, plug it in. Bam, it all works. Bought a more expensive camera, newer camera, better. Can't get nothing to work. I was laying in bed last night. You know what the Lord done, Robert? He went, boom. Been fighting this for 4 weeks. Was going to call Sony and complain. I got to thinking, well, you big dummy. You got a good soundboard. Just run your wire out of the soundboard into the TV. They get sound. They get everything. Guess what? Hook it up. They sound. I said, "Preacher, what are you doing?" You know what that devil's doing? He's just like Ahab. He said, "I'll give you something better. I'll give you more than it's worth." You know what? Some of you this morning, you're so discouraged. You're so down and out. You can't understand why things is happening to your family. You can't understand why it don't seem like nothing's going right. But you got this picture that comes on this TV. I'm going to be honest with you. All these movies about falling in love, the man chasing after the woman chasing after man, and boy, they have this romantic love in these movies. I'm just going to say this right now. My wife likes those movies. She likes them. Tommy's sharing like to watch them love movies every now and then. There ain't nothing more in my life likes to watch than watch one of these love movies and have popcorn and chicken wings and have a date there at the house. Ain't nothing more. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It creeps me out. You say, "Why is that?" If there's a man chasing a woman around for a year, they call that stalking. Showing up in the same places at random times, they call that creeping. You say, "Well, preacher, my marriage ain't like that on the movie." It's because you didn't marry a stalker. Hello? Did I help anybody with that? You say, "Preacher, my wife don't act like that woman on the TV. It's because she ain't a creeper, all right? Let's get over it." You say, "Preacher, we ain't happy like they are in the movies." That's because it's Hollywood. They ain't going to paint you the real picture of what it's like. You just got to work at it. And work at it. And work at it. And you know what? When the sweat of your brow is hitting the dust of the earth and you're thinking, "Why am I doing this?" And know that harvest season's fixing to come and God's blessings is going to pour out on you and your home. It's worth standing for. I got to get done right here real quick. But you notice what happened to Naboth. He died for what he believed in. I want to say this. You'll agree with me this morning that America has turned into a liberal nation. You'll agree with me that. I'm going to be honest with you. I watched the Republican, about 5 minutes of the Republican debate, and after 4 minutes I was done. Why is that? There ain't no reason no man running for the United States of America and them men need to make a joke about their hands or any other part of their body on national TV. Let me be honest with you. I don't want to see a woman win. I don't want to see a crazy old man with messed up hair win, neither. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to see any of them win. I'd like to see America put God right back on the throne. Amen. Turn to a nation of what we used to stand in. You and I live here this morning because of the inheritance of our fathers. You and I have the freedoms of this country because of men that went to war and fought for what they believed in. You and I enjoy the privilege of church because there were some preachers down throughout the years that preached it right. And if there has ever been a time for God's children, we don't need to give up our inheritance. We don't need to roll over. We don't need to hope for bigger things. We need to stand firm on God's Word. Amen. Call sin, sin. Go ahead, preacher. Call it wrong. Call it deceiving. Call it from the pits of hell. This country has no morals, but I thank God there's still a remnant that does. And if there's ever been a time that the devil was running loose in America, it is in the day and age that we live in. I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't going to mention nothing about it. It really bothered me a week ago Monday night when the councilmen and women of Charlotte, North Carolina decided you could use whichever bathroom you felt like that day. I don't know about you, but I don't want my little girl going in a stall in the women's restroom and some pervert sitting on the other side. I ain't for it. It's wrong. It's wrong. You know what happens? We open up a little bit of can of worms. They want to dump the whole bucket out and want to make you eat it. My friend, I'm going to say this. It's still wrong today. We have got a vineyard in this country as Christian men and women with morals and standards. And I don't care what this world says, but I'm going to tell you this morning, there's coming a day and age that you'll either die for it or sell it out. Donald Trump, he's no religious man. I mean, a man that calls it 2 Corinthians. Y'all know about that. He is at Liberty University. He was going to impress that Christian college by quoting Scripture. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians. Donald was talking about 2 Corinthians. He's talking about 2. He didn't even know there was a 1st and a 2nd. You got Ted Cruz, he's worried about being little and all this other stuff. But I'm going to tell you this, I don't care who goes in the White House. Don't let that change who you are. Yeah. Say, preacher, what are they going to do if they come and pick you up at jail and take you to the jailhouse? I guess I'll be like Paul. I'll write you letters and let Brother Odin stand up here and read them on Sunday morning to you. Preacher, what are you going to do if they come in and they start doing those things to your daddy and to these other preachers? All we can do is pray for them. You say, preacher, do we fight fire with fire? Do we go out and condemn them? No, 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 no. The Lord has said vengeance is His. He said mine, but I don't want you to think it's mine. It is His. And I'm going to be honest with you. It ain't going to be long till you're going to be stoned. You're going to be shot. But let me ask you, what's it worth to you this morning? Jesus taught, if a man gained the whole world and loses his own soul, what does it profit a man? What's your vineyard worth this morning? What's your family worth? What's your children worth? What's your grandchildren worth? What's your wife worth? What's your husband worth this morning? What's your church worth to you? You see, because the devil's going to come by, he's going to paint you a picture of a church with a lightning bolt and smoke rolling out on stage and motorcycles and, well, hallelujah, free coffee. You know what? I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to put up a sign down here on our road that says, free water. Now, some of y'all, that just stopped right there on you. You think about that water fountain out front in the church house. Daddy, what's that mean? Why not? Mr. Dad, I think that'd be good. Free water. You know what? I bet that Maple Springs crowd would talk about trying to figure out what that means. I bet Old Roaring River or White Plains up here in Roaring River would try to figure out what that means. I bet them people driving up to Wilkesboro figure out that. I guarantee it'd probably make Go Wilkes. What this church had on their sign, free water. What, we giving out free coffee and donuts? No, we giving out the Word. You know what? I guarantee you somebody will stop you if they put that on a sign and ask you if you go to church here what that means. Some of you probably go still going to say, well, I guess he's talking about the water fountains out front. No, we're talking about the preaching of the Word. The Word. The Word. The Word. Y'all with me? Did y'all get the Word? Every head bowed and every eye closed, let's stand to our feet. Miss Sharon comes and plays a hymn of invitation this morning. What's your vineyard worth to you this morning? Is it worth you standing in there and fighting for? Is it worth when that day comes, they deliver you up? Is it worth to say it's worth fighting for? This is the inheritance my Father's given me. This is His Word. This is His Spirit. This is His church. And it's not worth selling to me. It's more valuable than any money has to offer. It's more valuable than what the devil can give me. Because can I tell you something this morning? The devil can't give you nothing because it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God.